So hello, everybody, and welcome to our Elite Gold, Gold Plus Diamond call. This is our second one, our early one, so daytime one to facilitate people who either want to come a second time or, you know, can't make it to the evening, Thursday evening call, like Donna has a consistent commitment on Thursday evenings through the church group. So, yeah, so we have these, and there's other people who work during, you know, or just don't want to do late night. So that's why we're doing them. It looks like we have a good showing. I may grab my seat and sit down. I had a little fall yesterday. So yeah, I fell off my chin-up bar. I was all the way up to the top on the 10th rep, and the bar came out of the wall. And I landed flat on my back and hit my head really, really hard. And I laid there and went, oh my God, that was a hard hit. And I just screamed. I thought, I may pass out. I got to get some attention. So I screamed and Scott came running, and I never passed out. And it's fine. I have a little bump on my back and it hurts. And I have some tender spots on the rest of my body that hurt. But I kind of took it easy yesterday. I didn't get half the stuff done that I needed to get done. And I laid down because if it is a concussion, which it might be a mild concussion, you're supposed to stay away from screens, you know, and heavy duty activity. So anyway, I'm okay. But if I get tired, plus I'm on the second day of a fast because I started yesterday, which was good timing for the fast because I also threw my jaw out of alignment. And now I think it's better. But right at the end, it's not there. So if I were trying to chew, that last bit of close down wouldn't work very well. So it's good that I'm doing a fast, and yesterday I wasn't hungry at all. So we're good. Wow. So all is good. What else? Yeah, I think that's all I wanted to say. So if you see me grabbing for my chair and sitting down, that's usually I just like to stand, but, and plus it's 90 degrees outside and I don't have my AC on. So I'm kind of crazy, but it's good. It's all good. So I'm here to support you. I have opened the, let me see where it went. The list of who, okay. Yeah. So, we have May 21st, right? So we didn't have very many using the RSVP, just Diana and celebrations, continuing the healing journey. Lots of resting and detoxing and incorporating new things, and no questions at this time. Okay, great. So Diana, why don't you just get on and give us an update? Because
I ended up with a few questions. Ha ha ha.
Oh, you did? Okay, so go for it.
Usually happens after I hit the RSVP. So. Yeah. Wow, it's been interesting. A lot of things are improving, but I still have a long way to go. So I'm having a little trouble keeping my O2 above 90 right now. Last 2 days, I've been a little bit resting more. Yeah. Doing a little bit more of the oxygen concentrator while I'm resting during the day, not just at night. So my lungs feel clearer, though. I don't have as much difficulty with moving the air. So I was a little concerned about that. And then the other thing that happened over the weekend, I was finally able to get a hold of my number two daughter to tell her what's been going on. And she's got a busy life. She lives in Rhode Island. She's a single mom raising a daughter by herself. And but she's an occupational therapist. So to get her attention, I just sent her a copy of the CT scan results. Mom just doesn't want to chit chat. Mom really needs to talk to you. So it worked. So I got to talk to her, and what she came up with off of reading that report was astonishing to me. And I want to talk about that towards the end, but I did want to go over a couple of the questions that I had asked you on the last call on the CBC specifically. I want to go back and look at the white cells and see if we can come up with a little bit more of a idea of where I'm at in fighting whatever the infection is or was. Or
I see what you mean. Yeah, let me open this up.
So that one would probably get off to just the master tracker.
Yep,
I'm rather opening than the optimal
master tracker now. Master tracker. Okay. Can I share my screen?
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Okay. Diana master tracker. There we go. Is that it? Yeah. All right, we'll look at that. I thought I opened the master tracker. I guess it didn't open. There we go. Okay, so it would be Lab Results US. Okay. Let me move this, some of these Zoom controls off to the other screen. All right, so we're gonna go down to white blood cells. Here we go. All right, so in terms of, what the heck happened?
Whoops,
it twitched. How did that happen?
Oh, wow, cool.
I was just trying to scroll it. Okay, there we go. I was trying to scroll it. I must have accidentally hit the button at the bottom. Okay, so this is 429.20.
Yep.
The white cells are high, but not much higher than they've been in the past. But that definitely says there's an acute infection that you're fighting. Okay. And then the red blood cells are, you know, we know that's been a problem for you for a long time.
Yeah, and they had been going down since I stopped smoking, but they came back up. But I understand that with my O2 being so low.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically just, it's got to have more oxygen. And so they're making more
red
blood cells.
Right, so they're making more blood cells.
Same thing with the hemoglobin and hematocrit.
Yeah.
Right, but when we get down into the differential part, that's where I'm wondering if the infection isn't actually active. The monocytes being up showed that it may be past, but I don't think it is.
Well, monocytes are up with past or chronic. And since yours haven't been, they've been periodically up, but the last three times, this is saying that it's higher, but there's been something going on for a while.
Yeah, I've had this on and off respiratory thing since back in October.
Okay, so
but it was viral. I mean, then that's what it was showing at the time. Now we've got this other situation.
Right, like then it was.
We got the neutrophils are way high.
Now your neutrophils are high. So there's a bacterial infection.
And look at what happened to the lymphocytes.
And the lymphs went down, but it's percentage wise. So if we look at absolutes, we can know. This is the only time I actually ever look at absolutes. So your absolutes so absolute lymphocytes have gone down. So it says to me that a viral infection so before it was really heavy duty in the viral.
Yeah. Well, it always has. I've got that retrovirus that just likes to hang out. So.
But now the actual number of lymphocytes went down too, not just the percentage.
That's the first time I've ever seen that particular pattern. And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss with you. Am I still dealing with a bacterial?
I think you're dealing with a bacterial infection
still. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's not, if you look at the numbers, the lab numbers, it's not that overt, like it's, you know, I think their numbers are like 80 or really high. Neutrophils 78, you know, so you're just out of that optimal. So we're saying it's not showing that you have this raging, huge bacterial infection, but there is a bacterial infection.
Yeah.
Cause it's gone up a lot since
November.
And so.
And I'd say it's all probably since February when I got
when you started getting it. So there's definitely a bacterial thing. I wouldn't stop any of the antiviral kinds of things that you're doing, but I think that really looking at the bacterial stuff, like what is it? You know, is it in the lungs, right? Is it in the lungs or is it a gut thing that got inflamed from everything else? You know, sometimes things reactivate when you're dealing with more of an acute thing. The chronic things don't get the attention that they got before.
Right.
And so it could be in the gut. It could be a gut thing.
Well, with what was going on with the respiratory infection, it started out with viral. And then after I had gotten through my protocol in February for the viral, it turned bacterial. That was when I was seeing those pus pockets on the back of my throat. And the only thing that showed up that I've had anything bacterial with was the last stool sample in December showed strep. Two strains of strep and then the pneumonia. So, or the new pneumoniae, whatever it was called.
Right.
So that's the only thing I can think of is where this bacterial may have come from. It could have been maybe harbored in my throat all that time and somehow got in my intestine and then, you know, got back into my throat again on this second round with this viral.
Right. And it could have been in the throat because strep is a common inhabitant.
Right.
They're normal inhabitants. They just get out of control. And once your body was trying to fight off this viral thing, that it got to be growing out of control.
Right. So that's what we've been, I was dealing with that with all the herbal antibiotic type things, antibacterials.
Right.
And I thought I had that under control. And what I'm wondering now is if I need to maybe look at going back on some of those herbal antibiotics.
I would. Well, what? Tell me what some of the ones you were using were.
Oh gosh,
like the Oregon grape and.
I've got several different combinations. Let me grab them.
Okay.
Okay, I was using oregano, the P73 oregano oil in capsules. I can't handle it in my mouth.
Okay.
And then I was using Vital Nutrients Herbal Biotic, which has a nice assortment of all kinds of, but it's got berberine, forsythia, Lonicera japonica, garlic, myrgum, echinacea, and citrus bioflavonoids. And then I was also using Olivarex, which is the Biocidin's olive leaf.
Okay,
And proprietary herbal formula, and those really seem to knock things down. So those were the three main that I was using as far as the strep part or the bacterial part.
The bacterial part.
Right.
Those are all, there's nothing red flag in any of those. In fact, the olive leaf will bring your sugars down too. So if those worked for you, you could try just adding one at a time and just see how you respond to it.
Right.
Or you could try all of them, and you know, since you've done it in the past, it's not like you're going to have an adverse reaction to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So that's what I was wondering, if this was still an active thing or not. So.
You know, it's not like I said, blazing, like, oh my God, they're going to put you in the ER and put you on IV antibiotics, because it's not in that range. But it's.
That was the first thing Danny said. He wanted to send me to the hospital, get me on antibiotics, and reinflate my lung. I said, no, thank you. You have no idea how hard I've worked to get my bacteria and my gut straightened out.
Yeah, no, I would go back on those that you were doing before. Make sure you keep up your probiotics, whatever length you can, whether it's your TV or whatever.
Exactly.
Because even herbal antibiotics can disrupt the normal flora.
Right. I'm being very conscious of that.
Right.
So,
but the combinations that you mentioned are also some antiviral in there too. So it's going to be an overall. If I were you, that's what I would go with.
Okay. And I'm also doing the extra vitamin C and D.
Yeah.
That, you know, because I found that I couldn't back down on that. I had to keep it my new double rate. So.
Yeah, I would keep those up until further notice, until this is.
I'm not going to play with that one. So basically, that kind of was my main questions. Okay. And then I wanted to, while you're still on that screen, just in case you need to look at this. My daughter, Janelle, looked at this, the CT scan.
Yep.
And I was afraid, since she's in allopathic medicine, that she would be immediately wanting me to go see the cancer doctors and get the biopsy and blah, blah, blah. So I was cringing at having this conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, she totally surprised the heck out of me, shocked me to death. She, in her professional 20 years as an occupational therapist, says she has seen hundreds of these types of things. I'm not about to go get a biopsy and break it open if it's cancer. And she says, I'm not the least bit worried about cancer. She's seen lots of these, and there's lots of them that are definitely not cancer. Hmm. So in her experience, that's the least of my worries. But she did pick out that she's very concerned about my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's very concerned that with my O2 dropping, that I'm going to go into heart failure. She's basically explained to me that what she is seeing is that anytime the O2 drops below 90, there is heart muscle damage happening.
Mm.
And it's cumulative. It's kind of like your thing with the blood sugar. Anytime it goes above 140, you're dealing with nasty effects, and those don't go away. They're cumulative. So it was kind of one of those jaw-dropping moments for me, that she was able to look at that CT scan without even looking at the labs or anything. And she was able to pick that out. And she doesn't really know all that much about my health status because we don't get to talk very often. So she has really no clue what's been going on the last 2 years. And I was just kind of astonished with that. So which numbers in these labs might indicate the heart being in a weakened state? Or is there anything in these?
I don't
numbers?
Think there's, I'm thinking, let me look back at your numbers here. I mean, these are just lipids that we're testing.
Right.
And the only CRP, one that was C-reactive protein, if there's inflammatory.
Oh yeah. The CRP.
You'd have to do a CPK.
Okay.
It's called CPK.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. I forget what the cardio, but they actually may call it, it's a kinase.
Oh, okay.
Creatine phosphokinase.
Okay.
And now they're just calling it CK. And that's what they do after a heart attack to look for muscle damage. But the CK, let me just look at, there's something called APO enzymes. And you can break it down. So here we go. What is high CK?
I think I actually did have a CK somewhere in the very beginning group of labs. It was on Dr. Allen's.
There's an APO enzymes. It's the muscle cells, but you want to do why are they not showing the APOs? APO enzymes. I have that in the cardiovascular section. Let me look there. What are the symptoms of high? What happens if they're high? Injury or stress to a muscle, heart. So you do the APO. Why is it not showing? All right, let me look in on ERC in the elite modules. I'm pretty sure I mentioned those labs in the, and if not, I know where I mentioned it. It's in NEPT. I'm not sure, maybe I didn't mention it in the cardio one, which is the next one coming up.
Yeah, are we going to be doing that one?
Yeah.
The cardio? Good.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Here, assessing.
Okay.
It might be in here.
Oh, I talked
about APO enzymes. Okay, let's look here, slides. If not, I know I do. It's in the cardio module in NEPT. So you might want to go through this and watch the video right now.
Okay, I will do that.
Blood clotting, cardiovascular blood markers.
Oh, neat. There's all the answers to the questions I have.
Reactive protein, homocysteine, low cholesterol, other cardiovascular markers. Why am I not doing it? Okay, let me find it here. I'm pretty sure. It's a whole list of APO enzymes.
Great.
Let's see. NEPT. Cardiovascular. But there's what they call APO enzymes. So there's CK. It's similar for like alkaline phosphatase, et cetera. You can see what the subcomponents are to know which point part of the body is being affected, whether it's the cardiac muscle, the skeletal muscle, et cetera. So let me see if I can find this. What can go wrong assessment? Here we go.
Cool.
It'd be in here. Gets a little geeky in here. Circulation with me. Advanced cardiovascular. I think that was more the, let's just look in this one. Or I'll just pull out my lab book. I just thought it would be easier to find it here. Signs and symptoms. Okay, see. Creatine phosphate, protein released in blood after a heart attack. Cardiovascular. Lipoproteins, LDA. Usually I have the APO, unless I have the APO enzymes in the blood chemistry part. Nope. Let me grab my lab book since the Google, Dr. Google isn't helping me with APO enzymes, and I will look it up to give you the exact, there we go. This book's at least 30 years old.
Uh-huh. Oh, by the way, that PDF you sent me is awesome. There's three different glycerides I've got ordered. I'm waiting for them to come so I can start trying them.
Great. I wish I could get all of those on digital because they're
That'd cool. be cool. That was a heck of a stack of paper you had.
I have a stack of books. Yep. That's a lot. Creatine. Okay, here we go. Here we go, free create. They used to call it CPK, now they call it CK. Okay, 311, this is an old book, so that's where I learned it, 311. You can see the book is getting faded and, okay, so let's see. It should have the isoenzymes. Maybe it's not apoenzymes, it's isoenzymes. Gosh, darn it. Now we'll see it. Isoenzymes, here we go. Okay, creatine kinase, can you see it?
Yep.
CKMM, CKMB, and CKBB in the brain. So you'd want to do the CKMB. Okay. All right, so you want to get, the test you want to get is creatine phosphokinase or creatine kinase with isoenzymes, and then it'll show you the distribution of those numbers.
Okay. Okay, dokie.
All right. And then there's an immediate, like it's super high if you've just had a heart attack. But then if there's been chronic damage, it would be out of the range, but in the range of more like it's, you know, they know if you've had a heart attack, they do this within 24 hours, it's going to be majorly because you have this major influx. Okay.
I got it. Okay. Well, I haven't had a heart attack.
No. I wouldn't expect it to see that, but I would expect if there has been damage to your heart muscle, that there would be an elevation of this.
Okay. So that would be the test we'd be looking at to find out that information.
Right.
And that's only going to give you if you like really had a recent thing, or is that going to give you like a long-term damage report?
Well, if there's chronic damage going on, it'll show up.
Like you said,
it won't be that majorly having a heart attack, but there's ways to read it. Let's see. So creatine kinase with isoenzymes. And then what do my test results mean? Yeah, so any of this rises after a heart attack, inflammation of the heart muscle, heart trauma, heart surgery, muscular dystrophy, and other problems related to the heart.
Okay.
Okay, so if there is muscular damage going on, then you should see some elevation there.
Okay.
And if not, then it should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Great. Anything else?
Fantastic. No, that's one of the things that I really want to brag about. My daughter's in allopathic medicine, and I have wanted to sit and talk to her. She knows that I do things alternatively, but we've never really had a lot of time because she lives so far away to sit down and really put our heads together. And I'd love to steer her your way because the people that she works with are people whose, you know, lives have been permanently altered by illness, disease, accidents, whatever.
Right.
And she's got my heart. But I didn't realize how much she's got my heart, even though we haven't really been able to communicate. My daughter has my healing heart. And it wasn't really till the end of the conversation and we were off the phone when it hit me that I put my stamp on my child.
That's beautiful.
And when I go on to the bigger and better pastures in the heavens, there's somebody that's going to take over for me. My heart has been passed along and it just filled me so much. I just want to brag on that. And someday I really do hope that she will at least take one class with you. Because I think she'll be addicted.
Do you like the Shine Online thing, or which is 2 days? So it's a small money investment, but it's a big time investment.
Well, I had bought one for her. I think it was 2 years ago. I bought her a ticket to Shine, and her life is just so damn busy that she wasn't able to actually ever. She wasn't able to watch it live, and I think she just ended up. She's just like I said. She's a single mom. She lives in Rhode Island. And since the Obamacare destroyed the entire medical system, she's now an independent contractor. So she has no full-time employer job benefits. She's worked 6 days a week. Three different job shops send her out. And she's just got a life that just leaves no time to breathe. So she just wasn't able to really get anything from that.
She wouldn't be able to do like our NEPT program if she doesn't have any free time, because it's a lot of. Yeah.
Well, until the young one gets a little bit older, she'll be 11 here shortly. It might be challenging, but
We have some free stuff, and we're going to be going back through a lot of our free webinars that are, you know, 90 minutes long that she could just watch and get some ideas from.
I'm definitely pointing her in that direction. Okay, I would definitely like to see, because she definitely has, she's got a heart, she's got a brain, and she's more into doing whatever it takes to help someone. She's not going to be just, you know, because it's not allopathic, you know, she's not going to reject it.
No, I think that's great. I wanted to say, though, a lot of the occupational therapists have specific stuff they're recommending, like for COVID patients with the breathing. Did you ask her about any of, you know, things?
Yeah, she wants me on oxygen 24/7. Wow. She doesn't understand why the doctor didn't send me home with oxygen. She's very upset about that. She says, no, you just demand it. And I said, okay, well, I'll try. I said, but I've got an oxygen concentrator because my ozone generator, I mean, that's what I use to get my oxygen.
But it would be good to have it even if you're not using it 24/7. There's ups and downs to that. But if you're using it and you go, whoops, I dropped, you know, or it looks like I'm dropping. I was 94, now I'm 92. I mean, you know what I mean? And for an emergency, you would have
that. And so the unit that I've got is just enormous and it's not portable. So she wants me to get the doctor to write script for the one that you can just carry on your shoulder. Yeah. So that I can walk it out in the garden or whatever. But I'm using,
especially
it
if you are out in the garden and you're exerting, you want to make sure you keep your oxygen up. But I mean, there's pluses and minuses to doing it 24/7. So it's
right. Well, that's what she was insisting, is for now, at least until my lung
gets the stats
healed.
Up. Yeah.
Right. And she said there's probably what's going on. It's not necessarily cancer. But she definitely agrees it could be very much this bacterial infection. My body's walled it off. It's right there at the bronchial entrance, so it's cutting down the supply. But she really is concerned about my heart not getting enough oxygen. Doing damage.
No, I agree. I think that's wise. So I would call the doctor and say, look, this and that. And I'm confused. I've been doing a lot of research, spoke to my daughter's an occupational therapist, and I'm wondering why you didn't send me home with an oxygen, you know, or prescribe oxygen for me. Because I think that would be helpful, and I would feel safer if I had that.
Absolutely.
Because especially where you live,
we're at higher altitude. I'm at mile elevation.
You're at elevation, but you're also in a place where there's no nearby hospital that they could rush you to if you're a sat strap and you need oxygen right away. And that puts you at risk. So I would say that's a great idea.
Yeah. And like I say, the machine I've got is great for at nighttime when I'm sleeping, because I, you know, it's not portable. So I can just, you know, put it on at night, which is what I've been doing. And it's helped a lot. Because I'm able to, you know, I'm able to not drop into the 70s while
No. You can't even below 90. You can't drop below 90.
Oh, I'm still dropping. So at 90, so I mean, into the 80s. But since I've got the oxygen on, it's been a lot better. I'm not dropping into the 70s anymore. I do drop a little bit. But like
you test yourself during the day and you just get yourself into that bedroom and you do it.
Yeah. And I'm doing it when I nap too. So I'm. But I've actually left our bedroom and I'm in the room where we've got the ozone machine set up so that I can sleep on my left side rather than on my right side.
Do you have a cot there? You have something you can lay on?
Yeah, there's a bed. It's the guest room. It's set up in the guest room. But I'm in that room because I can lay on my left side rather than my right side, which I normally sleep on my right side. And I figure that's probably why the lung collapsed. As I was, you know, sleeping on my right side, it just put too much pressure on that right lung. With that mass and the, you know, the blockage of the bronchial
The more
airways,
the oxygen you're getting, the quicker your recovery is going
to
be.
Yeah. And it feels like the right lung is opened up and there's a much freer passage of air going through that area. But yeah, it's going to be a challenge until we get this infection cleared up.
Yep.
So, anyhow, that's it for the good news and the bad news. And there's really no bad news other than it's good news.
Yeah. Bad news is always what steers you in direction of a solution.
Always. So thank you very much.
Who else has something that they want help with, support with, something to share? Who's next? Good, Donna.
So I'm doing okay other than I'm eating ice cream again. It's really bad. Not much you can help me with that.
But you don't want to bother with my, you know, I have an ice cream book that's about to be put out there on.
I'm just not into like frozen banana ice cream. And I do want to try the zucchini one though.
The zucchini one is good. But you know, as an alternative, I don't know if you've tried it, but So Delicious has one that's sweetened with whatever. And
yeah, I don't like any of those kind. But a good news is that I'm going to be doing the liver cleanse with Isabel.
Isabel, oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to prepare because, you know, she wants me to eat raw, which I don't think I'm going to be able to do just because.
Well, her thing is 50%. It's not 100%.
Raw. Well, that's only for some of the days.
Oh.
And other days, you know, she wants you to just juice or be 100% raw. And so I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I think you can do it. So you take it to there's stages, right? So if she wants you 100% raw, but you're concerned about that because of your gut, you can do the juices. That's easy. You already do juices, right?
No, because like when I do juicing, I already have something in my stomach to kind of buffer.
Oh, you can't
that.
Do stomach juice on an empty stomach, right?
Yeah. And if there's nothing else, and she wants me to juice all day.
Well, the juicing is the last day, and it's just a half a day, and then you're fasting. How do you feel about just water fasting that whole day?
Obviously, I'm not at that point, you know, to say
I don't. You might be able to, right?
And I think it'll give me a migraine.
It might. But
I just don't want to go into that last day with a migraine. You know what I mean? Like, because that's going to be absolutely horrible.
So I know, like, the second to the last day is you're just doing smoothies and raw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the third to the last day. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Thursday, you're just doing raw. Friday, you're just doing smoothies, the liquids. And then Saturday, you're just doing the juices in the morning. And I don't think that you would, have you done juice with like protein powder added to it or something else added to it, like something that would just coat your stomach? Have you done that? Or you usually do juice after you've done something else?
Yeah, normally, like even when I was at Hippocrates, I always try to eat something before I would drink the juice. Otherwise, I would just instantly get a migraine because it was just, I don't even know how to explain what it does, but it's just like too powerful or something, you know?
So what's the kind of thing you would eat at Hippocrates before going into that, into the juice?
Gosh, I don't even remember.
I mean, was it like a handful of sprouts? Was it some steamed veggies? Was it, because they don't do a lot of cooked there either.
No, like, well, because Xander was there, that was, you know, the first time I had like a bunch of fruit or whatever, because I didn't eat any of those grains that they would offer. But I just had like some fruit. And even when I have like a salad, it's almost like that's just too much raw.
Yeah.
And I really want this to be able to get me to the point where I could just eat raw. That's my ultimate goal, but I just don't know how to get there. Like, do I just suffer through the pain? I don't know.
No, you don't want to suffer through the pain. And that puts a stress on your system. And it's, yeah. So what I would recommend is, you know, do her diet the way she lays it out up until that Thursday before where it's supposed to be all raw. And in that one, do a combination, you know, some lettuce with steamed vegetables, steamed cauliflower, broccoli, et cetera. I don't, it can change the effects a little bit, but it's not going to change it as dramatically, right? So Tony says good, better, best, right?
So
best is the way she has it laid out, right? There's good and there's better. So we want to find you something in that good and better place where you're still going to get great results.
It
just may not be as good as it would have been. And it can train you. So you can figure out you have meals that are cooked plus raw. So the steamed veggies, the steamed zucchinis and things like that, where you have it with the raw, but not heavy duty raw, like raw broccoli and cauliflower and things like that. More like your lettuces and cucumbers and things like that.
So what if because she was saying like a vegetable broth, which I definitely can't use any packaged broth because that gives me heartburn.
So and you so basically can use own broth.
So I was thinking like a pot of water, put all kinds of veggies in there, even spinach or broccoli or whatever, and then cook that for an hour or whatever it is and then take out everything. Or should I just blend it?
Well, if you're talking the last day, the ideal is to not have extra fiber in your system.
Oh, okay. No fiber. So
that,
okay.
But that
but
would
the other days, I could just days, blend like it.
The Friday where you're doing just blending blend stuff, you can do that. You can blend that up and drink it. And if you wanted to have raw with that, what you could do is you could make some juice.
Yeah.
And blend the juice with the broth and the veggies. So then you get some of the enzyme activity of the raw, and it's going to help digest the cooked stuff.
So let me ask you, is it physical fiber or fiber in general? Because if I made, so we have this smoothie that we make, and we have like a bunch of like spinach, a bunch of spring greens, a little bit of sprouts in there, and then we put in a bunch of frozen fruit. And then if I blended that and then strained it, is that still the fibers gone or the fibers in the actual liquid?
No, you would, if you did that, you would strain out the fiber. You think that would be tolerated? Try it before you get into this. Just try.
Yeah, that's why I'm, well, because I can drink that as long as I have some other stuff. So if I had some cooked, I think it's, I don't know.
Well, it could be that the fiber in the raw, the cellulose, I'm guessing it's the cellulose, not the pectin. Pectin is mostly the fiber that would be in the fruit. Cellulose is more in the leafy greens and the vegetables. Cellulose tends to have a broom-like effect. And if you have some inflammation in your GI tract, that's going to aggravate it.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to just get things as calm and almost non-working as possible.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Right. Without having you have to do a water fast, because a lot of people can't go into the water.
Yeah, I just don't think I could do that.
Yeah. But the point is she, and I asked her, I said, well, can I just fast before I do this flush thing? She says, no, you really do want to have the fiber keeping the system moving.
Yeah, so you keep
until, and then the last day is the only day that you fast, you know, like you go blended on Friday and then the juicing. But juicing or broth, right? So I would experiment with it. Make a broth.
Yeah.
And the broth could be as simple as you steam your veggies and then you take the liquid off of that. So try it sometime. Cool. You know, just try it sometime before you get started. Because I think this is her cleanse week, her prep week is this week. And so try it. Just try that and see if that works.
All right. So, and I know I'm like stupid about this, but so I guess my worry is like on that last day or whatever, when you're trying to fast so that you're basically not putting anything else in your system.
Yeah. From about 1 o'clock on, you're stopping. Yeah.
So then.
So you've done that, Donna. You've done that length of fast before.
In the mornings, not in night.
Well, you never know, though. I mean, if you have enough in the morning and then you stop at one.
But if you're not having enough, because all you're having is a little, you know, you're having liquid. That's all you're having. That's not actual nutrition. Well, not necessarily nutrition. But
it's nutrition,
not,
it's not,
not going to prevent.
Well, you know, basically what your system, because of the inflammation in your esophagus and your stomach, it's coating it, basically. It's helping to prevent that acids and stuff from the juice to aggravate. So, you know, I know you've tried this before. You don't like the taste of it, but slippery elm is amazing for that.
There's just no way I'm going to get it down. That's just like chia gel. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. Not happening. I can put chia into my fruit smoothie, you know, with the greens and the fruit. I can put it in there. But as far as like just eating the gel,
So what I would recommend then would be your Thursday where she says all raw, you do combination. You know, lots of steamed vegetables, you do your salads, but you don't eat anything besides that. It's just really basically those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember if the raw is, you can do, I think, I don't know if that's the day you're stopping the fats, because Thursday is Saturday. You stop. Yeah. So you basically just do lots of steamed vegetables and lots of, you know, salad stuff and you're done. Mm-hmm. Right. Friday, you do the blends. So you do what you talked about before. You steam up a bunch of stuff, you know, you blend it up, you drink it that way. Yeah. And that's your Friday. And then Saturday, yeah, if you can't do you do the blends again. You just do the blends until 1 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. Because the blends, I could do my smoothie, you know, my protein smoothie that's blended. I can do my fruit and green smoothie that's blended, and I can do a, you know, cook a soup and blend that.
Right.
I can, you know what I mean? Like, I
you can do all that for the Friday day. So I would say you're like good, better, best, right? Yeah. So you're not going to be best on Saturday, but you're still going to give your body that what it needs. If you can do it, if you test it before that day, you know, just see, and then, because if it's not that day, you'll just go, oh, I can't take this anymore, and then you eat something.
Yeah, right? That's not really good.
But you don't want to do that day. So I would say, if you can tolerate the juice and the broth only, then fine. But if not, just blend. Do the blends.
Yeah.
But
blended something in the morning and then just had liquid the rest until, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Because I need something, so I'm not going to get a migraine. That's like my biggest fear. Right. I have a
migraine. In worst case, I would prefer not to have you have anything with fiber after that. But if some calories are going to get, you know, keep the migraine from happening, then you can do that in the afternoon. But try to keep as clean as you try to have a clean system when you do the flush.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then we also talked about, like, because I have a somewhat doctor friend who she has these from, I think,
Standard Process?
Yeah. These drops to put in the apple juice instead of trying to do apple cider vinegar and that malic acid, because that would just kill my
heart. That would probably aggravate, right.
Yeah. So hopefully.
But apple juice is one of the things. The only thing is the blood sugar. You know, it does raise the blood sugar.
At that point, oh well. In that moment, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for that week, oh well.
Yeah.
But I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and we were talking about doing, you know, because you can't really get colonics because, you know.
Everything's closed.
Yeah. So.
You can do enemas.
Yeah. But then, too, the other lady friend that was talking about, she was talking about, because Isabel just has you doing the coffee one, you know, after the flush. And this other lady was saying that if you're going through a lot of detox symptoms, that the coffee enema will help with that. So I asked Isabel, and she said that it would be okay to do, you know, some in the middle of the week.
In the middle of the thing, yeah. So I'll tell you, she recommends the colonics. I've done her cleanse many times, and I've never done the colonic. I've just done it.
But you're also much more working in better order than I am.
Right? So I think the coffee enemas instead of a colonic would be great, and it'll get you practiced up for doing that later.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, but when you do a coffee enema, you want to do a regular enema first to clear everything out as much as possible.
Right, yeah.
And then you do the coffee right at the end. And don't feel bad if you can't hold it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it.
I'm looking forward to it because I've been eating so much ice cream and chocolate. It's crazy. And I've finally, you know, been able to get rid of that stress to a huge, huge degree. Which is only by the power of God, my friend. No other way. Wow. But so now, since that's kind of mellow, I don't necessarily need it. I just crave it because
Yeah. So here's the thing. You're going to start, her thing starts, like her prep week starts Monday. So now you do best when you have this structure. So now your structure is, this is what you're going to do.
Right.
And that can break the habit.
Keep me to get off of it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And then if I can, you know, once I've done a week of not having any sugar,
Yeah.
Then I'll be able to stay off of it. Yeah. Finally, you know?
Yep. 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 That's what these things are good for. These things are good for breaks.
So I'm hoping. Okay.
Fingers crossed for you. You can do this.
Yeah. I know. It's like I keep, and a part of me wants to be the old me that says, well, I can't do it because of this, and I can't do it because of that, and I don't know if I can do that. Sorry, everyone, for the whiny noise. You know, but
You can do it.
I got to find a way. I got to find a way.
And we just talked about it, right? It may not be the perfect way that it's outlined, but let's make it so that you can still do it.
Yeah.
Right?
And he said that the only reason that you would have to start over is like with the animal products and stuff.
Yeah,
so it
clogs everything up.
Yeah, so I can be off meat. I mean, my body doesn't like meat anyway, so that's a goal anyway. So if I can do it, I just might have a week of not having it, you know, a ton of protein, and that's
it'll calm things down. It'll calm things down. So go to her calls. She has
calls.
Mm-hmm. Go to her calls. And get the support, you know.
Yeah. And I've made it so that that week is clear. I'm not going to, you know, I don't have to, you know, like I already got all my hours for my religious thing that I'm doing. So I made sure that that week is completely clear. And I don't have any responsibility other than, you know, the calls with you and stuff. I still have that.
But are you going to miss the retreat, an EPT retreat?
Oh, yeah. I can't do both. No. Yeah, there's just no way.
I think it's better. You'll do the next ones.
Yeah.
No worries. Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you. Who else? Questions, comments? Hi, Dawn. Go for it. Let me unmute you.
The metabolic.
You're unmuted.
I'm on the sweet spot metabolic reset and been having issues with leg cramps, and they just keep increasing. And so I know I'm sensitive to oxalates, so I've reduced my oxalates, and I did a deeper dive because, you know, something is making this happen. So I found out black pepper, turmeric, cumin, parsley, and some things that I use a lot are affecting it.
You've noticed that. How did you determine that?
Well, just research on the internet. So yesterday I decided I was going to do an elimination diet and try to go back to examining the foods I ate before the sweet spot started.
Mm-hmm.
And use the sweet spot foods and the things I ate before.
Yes. Okay. The overlap.
Increasing things or adding something once a day.
Okay, good.
A new food. Well, not once a day, but one at a time.
Right.
but because it just seems like this has to be more complicated than just oxalate issues.
Well, first of all, the leg cramps can be a potassium. And but what a lot of folks found is they
said potassium, magnesium, at least 1,000 milligrams of magnesium a day. I've started wondering if it's too much.
That's a lot.
I've increased my potassium. I take that every day, and I increased calcium.
Okay.
And it hasn't changed anything. And Lynn gave me a bunch of tips, and I've tried some of those, most of those, and it still is an issue.
Cramps.
It's affecting my sleep a lot.
So the cramps, you'll wake you up from sleep.
Right, like 4 or 5 times I'm hopping out of bed, running around.
They really cramp up.
It's interesting because now they are up the front of my shin and the top of my foot, where normally I have leg cramps at the back.
Yeah, that's the more common place to have them. Yeah.
And so these are almost 100% up the front and the top of my foot.
Are there foods you've been eating you that you were eating before that you're not eating now that could be could have been providing something? Tell me more about what you eliminated when you went into the reset.
Well, I'm not sure that I eliminated that much. I just added,
okay,
large quantities of parsley, corella, greens. I've never eat spinach, Swiss chard. I only eat dino kale.
Okay, so you're eating the lower oxalate foods.
There is some discrepancy online about what is high and low, because like one will say olives are low and another one will say they're high.
Yeah.
And same with avocado. It's most of them say it's either low or moderate.
Yeah, the one that I've found the best, I can't remember which one it was. I wrote it, who was it that told us about it on the last, a couple of calls ago? The one, I think, Paula, you were the one that told us. Is Paula still here?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, what did you say you found was the best source of the oxalate? Foods.
The Facebook low oxalate diet group has spreadsheets, and these are based on testing, actually lab testing. So you have to become a member of the Facebook group and ask to get access to these spreadsheets.
I'm going to put it in the chat so that it's there. Okay, so if you go to Facebook, are you on Facebook? Do you do Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, good. So go to Facebook, the low oxalate group. You'll have to request membership. They'll have questions that you have to answer. And then once you're in there, you say it's not like it's there. You have to actually request.
Yes, it's the low oxalate diet group. There may be other Facebook oxalate groups. And this is Susan Owens is the main, she's the owner of that group.
Okay. Yeah. And I like, so it's spreadsheets and it shows you how much oxalate.
Yes, there are spreadsheets for.
Yeah. As opposed to like, this is high, this is low. They actually give you some and they give you ideas of, so don't exceed this many because you're never going to eliminate all oxalates, but here's your guidelines of the amount that you can get in there. And that way you can calculate on a daily basis and see where you're at.
I was just starting to wonder, is it oxalates or is it a food?
That's why I asked you, what have you added?
Okay.
So I would look at the things you added or the things you increased.
Yeah.
I asked you about things you eliminated because there may have been some specific nutrient profile in that thing you eliminated or reduced that was providing some nutrients. I mean, but you're already taking the magnesium and the potassium are the main ones.
Yeah, and I used to do celery juice every day, and I've eliminated that because it raises my blood sugar, and it's also a high oxalate or moderate oxalate thing.
That's wild that it raises your blood sugar.
Yeah, it went from 88 to 126. I tried it last week. 16 ounces it went from.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I eliminated that again. I just tried it that one day. So it's just kind of a puzzle. And a friend recommended some supplement that she had found. It was called Mag R&R, but it has passion fruit, ashwagandha, 5-HTP, GABA, melatonin, rhodiola, and B6. And B6 is something that every time I take increased doses, I get leg cramps.
Every time you take increased doses?
Well, there's a small dose in the B vitamin or the multivitamin that I've been taking for several years. And it didn't seem to do anything. But if I get an extra dose of it, I get very extreme leg cramps.
So maybe you're getting, have you done a chronometer to see if you're getting more B6?
Yeah. And it looks like I'm getting my macronutrients.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if some of the foods you've been eating more of are providing more B6, and that's what's causing the issue.
Maybe.
I wonder if that has to do with, I'm just picturing the methylation pathways and how the B6 takes, you have elevated homocysteine. That's why we thought B6 would be good.
Yeah, it's kind of consistently high.
Yeah.
But wonder, for the last 5 or 6 years, off and on, I'll do some kind of reset or detox thing for 30 days. And whenever I do it, I have serious leg cramps.
Leg cramps.
Whenever I increase my greens and herbs and things, I get leg cramps. So now I thought I'd try to figure out if there's one specific thing.
Yeah. So you're eliminating the 5 things that you identified that could be culprits.
And well, there might be more.
There might be more. But have you eliminated them yet, or you just identified them?
I started yesterday.
Okay. So give it a couple of days and just see if that makes a difference. Okay. So don't try introducing anything new until you've been off of that for at least 4 to 5 days. If it's an allergy kind of thing, those IgG antibodies will last for about 4, the half-life actually is 4 days. So it'll last longer, but the half-life, the major symptoms you would see within 4 days. So as you eliminate them, you should see the most dramatic results in the first 4 days.
Okay, so I should introduce one food in like 4 or 5 days and then wait 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, but see, I would say you want to see if you get to the point where you're, where your cramps get better, whether it's completely better or just less frequently or better, then you don't want to do that before you start introducing things, because you want to get back to your, to a baseline level. Like what was the frequency of cramps before you started the reset? Was it not at all or just every?
Occasionally. And I've known for years, if I eat too many nuts or too much chocolate, that I would get leg cramps.
Makes me think oxalates as well. So
yeah. And the nuts I've pretty much eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would just stay away from, eliminate these 5 foods. If not, if that doesn't improve it, then look again at your list. Look at the oxalate list and see what else could there be that would be, you know, in that moderate column that you could lower at least for a few days. Now, the other thing is taking magnesium citrate and calcium citrate with the meal that contains any foods that have oxalates, any greens and stuff like that. You take that with the meal because that will bind to the oxalates and help to drag them out of the system.
Okay.
Right. And then the other thing is, which is a more long-term project, is working on healing the leaky gut. Okay. And because the oxalates technically shouldn't get into your bloodstream, right? Okay. Most of them should be eliminated in the stool. And if there's a leaky gut, then that's where they get through the lining and into the blood and then affect the various other parts. Okay, and we'll work on that. We'll work on the leaky gut piece.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. Anybody else?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
I just have a follow-up about the liposomal vitamin C.
Yeah.
I had reported that I thought it was raising my blood sugar, and I tested again, and it does not seem to be doing that. So something else that I was doing at the same time as the liposomal C, or stress, right? Yeah. So at least
you can take it.
I have vindicated the liposomal.
I'm glad. Yeah, because I was like,
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, it seemed a couple of times like it had. So I was like, and I tested some more.
You tested some more and you isolated. Okay, good. So you don't know what it was that caused it, but.
No, my money's on stress.
Yeah, I would put it there too.
Yeah.
Right? So improving that. I actually have, I'm going to bring in somebody to talk about parasympathetic and that on the 22nd, because our sweet spot calls end at the beginning of June, and then I'm going to bring somebody in to talk about the parasympathetic and vagus nerve and stress-related stuff then on the 22nd of June. So that'll help. Because I think, right now, the global atmosphere is stress. The global environment is stress. You can't turn on the TV, read a newspaper, go on Facebook, go anywhere without this promotion of fear, 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 fear. Like, be afraid, be very afraid, right? And that's bringing up cortisol levels in general. And then you have, you know, personal situations and family situations that bring that up. And so it's really focusing on those vagus nerve activities. I don't know if you ever got the book, The Healing Power of the Vagus.
I did, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Wonderful book, yes.
Great. Some of those activities where he has you, you know, So just really getting more regular with that. Coffee enemas actually help reduce stress, and they help reduce the improve the vagus nerve, right? And we know about the singing and the tongue depressors, which, you know, you take a tongue depressor, you put it in until you gag. So that gag reflex, kind of strange that that would activate this vagus nerve because it feels so stressful. But there's also another book that has some practical stuff. And it's from a therapist's point of view, some strategies that she had for vagus nerve. I'm going to find the name of the book. The little book. There's actually a couple of them. There's more and more books coming out with different things related to. That one's too. Activate your vagus. No, is that the one? It was a therapist one. I have like four or five books on activating the vagus nerve here. And there's also that parasympathetic summit that's coming up. That
I'm signed up for that.
Yeah, interesting. And there was an, if you signed up for that, they said, do you want the recordings? Which I did say yes to, because I want the recordings. But they also had, there's this little course. It's like $49 course on various techniques and stuff for activating the vagus nerve.
Yeah, well, part of my stress right now is I feel like I've already signed up for enough things, and I need to, take a look at that, right?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Activate your vagus nerve. Unleash your body's natural and ability to overcome it. You can get it as an audiobook and just listen to it, or get it as a book and read through it. But there was the one, it was not the polyvagal theory, that one's really detailed, and I can't find the, it was the therapist view. They get out of order, and they're not in alphabet. Accessing the healing power of the vagus nerve, that's the, okay, so I listened to this other one after that, The Disease Delusion.
Well, that's all right. If you come up with it, you can post it in the Facebook.
Yeah, I'll post it in the Facebook group, because I can't, I don't know why it's not showing up. It was something like in therapist. It was a therapist, but it had some good things to get in the habit of doing, things that you can do on a regular basis to calm it down. All right, I can't, it's not showing up. It wasn't this polyvagal theory, because that was like, you know, super like detailed technical.
Right.
That was the Stephen Poor. His
Stephen Poor said, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where it is. I'll find it.
I have a couple celebrations too.
Oh, good. Yay. Let's hear them.
Well, one of them is my sister-in-law had surgery yesterday, and she came through that really well. In fact, the surgery went faster than they thought it would. So hopefully she's on the road to healing. She's finished what we hope is her last chemo treatment, and they feel like the chemo, I guess, depressed her immune system, that the infection, you know, was triggered, right? So anyway, that's good. And the other thing is, I am noticing that when I'm doing repetitive motion things now, like a few weeks ago, I did a whole lot of vacuuming. We were cleaning the screen porch, the furniture and all that stuff, getting ready, you know. And some other things. And I'm not having as much soreness a day or so later. In fact, I didn't have any after doing that. And that's really a first in many, many years.
That's great. And
so the shoulder that had really gotten triggered with repetitive motion stuff is something has shifted in there.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
An overall inflammation thing. It could be rest for it. It could be it finally healed up. But whatever, that's a cause for celebration.
No, I'm hoping that part of it is some of the oxalates moving out. That may be a factor in this.
It could be. Yeah. It could very well be. Mm-hmm. It could very well be. There were a couple of comments here that I wanted to... Lynn Rose had a couple of good comments here. I wanted to make sure I... Oh, Angelica is saying the clear nasal spray is good for strep.
Yeah, my naturopath recommended the Zyclear nasal spray. It has grapefruit seed extract a few times a day in the nose.
That has grapefruit seed extract? I thought it just had xylitol and saline.
It has xylitol. That's the top ingredient, but it also has the grapefruit seed.
Oh, it does have grapefruit seed extract. Okay.
Yeah, so a few times a day I do 2 sprays in each nostril and, you know, just to help with the microbiome in here as well as the gut, so.
It tears up our kids. I'll have to look at mine because I usually can't do grapefruit seed extract up my nose. It causes me to be irritated. Let's see. I thought I saw one that I wanted to read about. Yeah, I have their toothpaste. Biocidin we're talking about. Very effective. Yeah, I like the toothpaste. Interesting. Some things, you know, give you a worse die-off. Angelica said I've been taking it for a while and haven't got die-off. Some products give you less die-off because they incorporate things that help with the liver and movement. So, like, for example, which is why in the grant program, I stick with the it's the one from Health Force Nutritionals, the parasite candida cleanse thing, because it has a lot of liver support to slow down and you know, not have such bad die-off reactions. Dawn says, I have an issue with willow bark. Willow bark's kind of strong. So, that's why it's hard to take combination formulas at 6 or 8 ingredients in them, unless you've tested the individual ingredients, because you can react to one and then it's like, how do I figure it out? So I know it's harder and it's more of a pain to take individual stuff, but it is for people who are really sensitive. It's really important not to take combinations without having tested the individuals first. Jeannie. So Lynn is saying some people that are sensitive will have strong die-off reactions. Yeah. Let's see. Colostrum can be helpful. I don't know what that was, because these come in at different times and I don't get to read them as they come in. Oh, and Angelica likes green smoothies with Sun Warrior vanilla protein. I've done that with, you know, putting in the collagen one, the vanilla collagen one. I like that a lot.
I like the Warrior Blend.
The Warrior Blend. That's always been my favorite, but then I switched to the collagen one just to get that extra support. And that's
cool. Oh, I want to try that one too. Yeah, Dawn, I was saying for your ice cream, like if you love ice cream, I find that those protein powders by Sun Warrior just so... You don't like them? You don't like stevia, do you? Is it the stevia?
Yeah.
No, so the problem is that Sun Warrior. Like all those times that Carol would make those, oh, I got this mousse and I got this ice cream and I got all this stuff and, you know, with all the Sun Warrior protein, ugh, it's horrible.
You don't like it.
Well, if you make it the way I make the ice cream with that is a scoop of the protein and then a big handful of the frozen zucchini And then a big scoop of chocolate powder. And if you're sensitive to chocolate, you can use vanilla, but you like chocolate and chocolate works for you. So a big scoop of chocolate powder in there and then something sweet. So whether it's Lohan or Stevia or something like that. And then I put something to give it a little creaminess, right? So whether it's avocado or coconut or macadamia nut or hemp seeds or something that has fat in it to give it a little creaminess. And then I just use the plunger in the thing and I, just a teeny bit of water, teeny bit. And then you get good bicep and tricep workout because you're going like this. And then it makes this beautiful ice cream. And it's really tasty. And I've done it here when we've had our potlucks. And I've told people about it. They said, oh, I'd love to try it. I said, okay, I'll make some. And it makes in a really short while. And everybody loved it. So I didn't like it with the chocolate protein, the chocolate Sun Warrior, because it doesn't have a real chocolatey flavor. It doesn't taste as good to me. But when I use the vanilla with the scoop of chocolate in there, it comes out really, really nice. Really nice. Now I try to get fancier and put other stuff in there. And when I put green powder in there, it's okay, but it's just not the same, right? It just doesn't the same. So yeah, there's something else. There's a bunch of stuff for you, Diana, to read. I'm sure you have. Yeah, and Lynn, this is a good thing, you know, and I think this is what keeps you going, right? It's connect with that feeling that you want on the other side. So if something gets hard, you go, okay, what is this going to lead to? I really want to feel comfortable in my digestion. I want to feel lighter. I want to feel stronger. Really connecting with that is a good idea. So how do you want to feel when it's over? Oh, you didn't know about doing water before coffee. So a coffee enema is very stimulating, let's just say, to the bowel. And so if you've got a bowel full of poop, basically, and you put the coffee in there, first of all, you can't get at the circulation. So you're trying to get that coffee to be circulated into the bloodstream and go to the liver directly. And if you've got a bowel that's got a lot of poop in it, you're not going to get there. So you do the water, like a quart of water to clear everything out, and then you do the coffee, right? And if you do the coffee with a full bowel, you're likely not going to be able to hold it at all because there's already a full bowel.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, and maybe this is not necessarily going about it the right way, but what if I used you know, take this time to check my bowel tolerance for vitamin C.
I would say you can do it during the...
Like beforehand, so that I get it cleared out and I, you know, I'm only dealing with what I'm...
Well, you'd have to be taking, in order to get your bowel cleared out from the C, you'd have to be taking the C during that period of that day, right?
And no, I mean like ahead of time. So like say this weekend, if I do that, so I'm kind of preparing my body, emptying everything out. So I'm starting fresh with just eating the plant-based, you know, no meat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that's a great thing to do. I think it's a great thing to do. Yes. Right. I don't think it takes the place of having to do the water before that.
Oh, no. I was still...
Okay, got it. Yeah. I was misunderstanding. Yeah, I think it's a great idea because it gets a lot of that stuff out. Yeah. So you're not having toxins recirculating from your ice cream binges.
Exactly.
I think it's a great idea. But who was the thing about zeolite, right? Somebody was mentioning zeolite. Is it a liquid mineral mix? I don't know what that question is coming from. It must have been something we were talking about. Oxalate Facebook group. Okay, got that. I put that in there. Good. Thank you, Lynn, for putting the link there. There was another one that Lynn Rose said about the body doing it in the order that maybe you want to say that. I saw it here and it made me want to repeat it for everybody. And it's really from my perspective, and I don't know from a homeopathic perspective, she may have had a lot of more perspective there, but the body will reverse problems in the order that it thinks are the high, it thinks is the high priority. So if your belly fat to you is the most, the highest priority for you to accomplish, but for your body, it's the liver fat or it's the gut inflammation or whatever, your body's going to work on that first. So you may feel like a program isn't working because it didn't solve the problem you had. It's top of mind right away. And it's really important to know that the body will, you know, when given the right environment without the toxins and with good nutrition, it will go, okay, I need to clean this up. I need to clean this up. I need to clean this up. And usually it picks the things that are going to be the top priority for you.
Yeah, because like mainly, like I know that there's a load of toxins in my body because I'm still detoxing even from the surgery. And I feel like my body's ready to do that next level of detoxing. But I also am fully aware that with all the bad eating and all that stress, that I know I'm not going to get a lot out right now. But the main thing for me is this is a reason for me to get off the bad food. Because when I was off the bad food after surgery, I didn't have hot flashes. I didn't have migraines. I didn't have every joint in my body like excruciating. I didn't have bad sleepless nights. I didn't have any of that. Yeah. And so this is my catalyst to say, now you have to. And that's what I need, unfortunately.
And you know, you're not going to go running down to Florida to Hippocrates every time you feel that. You've got to have ways to do that at home.
Right.
You've got to have ways to do that. And a big part of it is really, you know, the stress piece and the desire for the stress eating, right? And getting all that
exactly
control. So I think you're on the right track for this, and know that you don't have to do it exactly perfectly.
And that's helpful because I was getting a little stressed out about, you know, I'm not going to be able to just drink juice. And so now I feel better about that.
Yeah, so you have a plan for it, right? Good, better, best.
Right.
Not bad, right? So you got to get rid of the bad part. But then
and it doesn't give me an excuse to do it lousy.
Right.
But it also gives me the less stress of I don't have to be doing it perfect.
Right. And you see how it goes. And then maybe next time you could do it closer.
Yeah, right. Because my whole goal is to be able to be on just raw. That would be awesome.
And nobody's ever on just, I mean, I know very few people who stay on just raw forever, right?
Well, even just, you know, like plant food, you know, so like
plant foods
eating veggies more and
more veggies. You know, I do mostly raw, especially in the summer. I don't want anything to do with cooked food. Mm-hmm. But in the wintertime, I enjoy my hot soup or steamed vegetables, but I have very strict guidelines for myself. I don't eat any of the grains or the legumes, and I don't eat cooked fats. I just stick with that every now and then. Scott will throw some roasted vegetables in with a little olive oil. And, you know, I make exceptions here and there, but I also find that I feel the best when I don't do that. You know, when he does that, that becomes an addictive food for me. I just want more and more and more and more and more, especially if he throws carrots and sweet potatoes in there. It's like, you know, so we have to all tune into what are the triggers for you to go off track, right? And how do you satisfy that? That's why I came up with the ice cream thing. It's like, I really want ice cream. Everybody's eating ice cream. I can make an ice cream that's a full meal, you know, that's a delicious, it's full of nutrition and it's a meal, and I'll go do that. And I shouldn't be talking about food when I'm fasting.
No.
Now I'm like, oh, well, just go have some ice cream.
No. But,
really good ice cream.
Strong. Be strong.
I'm going to be strong. I know. I'm doing it. A friend of mine and I are doing it together. And so she said, well, I'm not going to eat because then I have to report to you that I ate. And I said, same here, right? So we're going to do it together. Yeah. All right. Lynn Rose, if there's anything, whatever you wrote earlier that I really liked it and I can't find it. The toxins are stored there to protect us. That's right. As fat. Right. Because when they get released, so the fat stores the toxins, your body says, whoops, toxic. And even if you're not overeating calories, it'll drop down your metabolism. So you burn less. So you take this stuff and you can store it as fat. And so when you start to detox or release that, when that fat is coming, you know, releasing, it's releasing those toxins and they get into your bloodstream, which is why making sure there's good nutrition there to pull it out, the vitamin C, whatever other kinds of things you can do. But fat protects you from those toxins being in your brain. And so that's why when we're doing detoxes, it is high in vegetables. We do put the juices and the broths and stuff in there to help with that.
She said, remember that the body will release what it feels safe to release. It does not do it all at once. Think of it as sequential layers.
Yes. Thank you. That was perfectly said. Perfectly said. I love that. Thank you for repeating that. All right. So I think if there's anything else in there, if you ask me a question in there, if you ask a question that, or somebody said something, you want to bring it out. More constipating, Lynn Rose, I would like to activate a charcoal. It is kind of constipating, right? It could be constipating. I kind of like the zeolite, and I like some of the green clays that are good. And Lynn's saying that they could constipate as well. But what they are is they're binders. They grab onto toxins as they're going through the intestinal tract. So something like that, the zeolite, the charcoal, the green clay, or modified citrus pectin is another one. And they just basically latch onto toxins. So they're being released from your liver, goes through the whole bile thing, comes out at, you know, in your poop, and they can be recycled. That's the problem. If they don't get bound up to something, comes down to the lower part of this large intestine, and there's that recirculation back to the liver. And you're like, oh, back to the liver. So it's like, then the liver is like, you again? I thought I got rid of you a few days ago. Blunk, it has to go through that process, which puts a strain on your liver to have to constantly be doing this. So having some kind of binder in there is really, really helpful. Yeah.
So like I have this diatomaceous earth. Can I use that?
Be careful with it as far as how it feels. Have you used it before?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Okay. Diatomaceous earth can do that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Try it. Test it. Play with it. Yeah. Liquid clay. Yeah, so liquid clay, that's a great idea because if you put anything that's powdered that's absorbing, it's going to absorb your liquid, right? So like with chia, if you were to just throw chia into a smoothie, make sure there's plenty of water in there because the chia will absorb up to 8 times its volume in water. Right. So it can be constipating. I find even psyllium, which is supposed to be a laxative, for some people, if you don't take it with enough water, like if you take psyllium and just go about your business, it can be binding. It forms a brick in the intestine because it's absorbing all your water, right? So anything like that, so whether it's diatomaceous earth, whether it's your clay, anything like that, you want to make sure you take in a lot of extra water. The clay, you can actually form it into a jelly thing. Donna wouldn't like it at all, but you can make it this gooey gel kind of thing with water so that it's already got a lot of the water. It's done some, which is why I like chia seeds as a gel versus just ground chia powder because it's already absorbed a lot of liquid from the extra liquid you gave it. It's less likely to be this parasite for your own water supply. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I always put it in water and juice, you know, so that I can get it down.
And then drink an extra glass of water after it, just to be safe.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, lots and lots of water when you're using any of those binders. All right. Thank you, Lynn Rose. Bye. I think diatomaceous earth, that's why I asked Donna specifically, because she has such a sensitive gut. That if you've taken it before and it's been okay in the way you've taken it, fine. But for a lot of people, you have to be careful because diatomaceous earth can be harsh. It's meant, they say that it can be used with parasites and it actually has got this harshness about it that breaks up the walls of the parasite. I don't know how true it is. I haven't seen a lot of research on that. But if it's harsh enough to do that, it can aggravate your gut. So taking it with other stuff that's more gelatinous or smooth is good. All right. Anything else? Anybody else?
I got a quick one if you got a minute.
Sure.
The back on that Optimal DX report from last time, there was a mention of the endothelial cell dysfunction. And when I went back and read some more about that, I never did find anything to improve that, although it said it definitely needed improvement. Is there anything specific that you can think of real quick that would help
well,
with
the
endothelial?
Well, the things, you have to think about what would damage the endothelial lining, right? So what things damage it? So you've got to get away from those things. So, and I think you have mostly, yeah. But evaluating is looking at any kind of hydrogenated or heated oxidized fats will damage the endothelial lining.
Yeah, don't have that.
Excess insulin, right? If you're producing, if you're having a higher glycemic meal, excess insulin will damage the endothelial lining. Caffeine, alcohol, things like that can have byproducts that can damage the endothelial lining. So most of that stuff you've cleaned up.
Yeah,
You know, the smoking.
Can just the stress of all the events.
But also the smoking for all those years.
Okay.
Has caused
but
death.
Didn't, so it's this sweet. Didn't show up till after I stopped. That's funny. God,
well,
it's hysterical.
Yeah.
How come
the body
that
gets to start to heal?
I've heard so many people. It's one of the reasons I, you know, used to use it as an excuse not to stop. Is as soon as they quit smoking, they'd get diagnosed with lung cancer within 6 months. I've seen that happen too many times. But anyway, it's just kind of funny how, yeah. While I was in the active, it was just not happening. But now it's like what. I think it really has something to do with that respiratory.
So to protect it, right? Good fatty acids, making sure your omega-3s are in balance and not too many omega-6s. Curcumin, turmeric, right?
Okay.
Good. Anything that's anti-inflammatory can be helpful for
great.
That.
Okay.
Vitamin E, right? Those things that are going to be protective of the endothelial lining.
Okay. Great. Okay, so we're looking at anything that's an inflammatory type of thing that just, you know, reduce the inflammation.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering, because most of the stuff in that optical DX, they tell you specific things that to do to improve. So it didn't have any clues on that one. So
antioxidants. I wonder if hawthorn berry would be helpful.
What's that?
I was wondering about hawthorn berry.
Oh, I'm using my heart tonic, so that should help. And I had dropped that because my blood pressure was actually getting so low that it was getting too low.
Mm.
So I brought that back a little bit with this little reminder from my daughter that I need to watch my heart. So I brought the heart tonic back
hawthorn
in.
Hawthorn berry is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liver and
that's
heart.
Very heavy on hawthorn berry.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And leaf and flower. So good. Tons of that in there. Great.
Yeah. If I think of anything else, if, you know, something else pops in my head, I like to, you know, sometimes the questions brew and I think about a particular herb or nutrient and go, oh yeah, that would be really protective.
Yeah. Well, we got that elite call coming up. So maybe we can talk about that more then.
Okay.
But I was just hoping for an idea or a thought on something to start improving that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Great. You're welcome.
Been awesome. It's been great to see everybody.
Super.
Oh, a lot of people came in today. I haven't seen their faces in a long time. It was great.
Awesome. Thank you. So anybody else before we go? We're kind of at time now. So 2 minutes.
I have a quick question, I guess. It's Annie.
Hi.
Hi. So, you know, I've been doing the sweet spot and no budge on the scale. And I know a lot of it's stress, but even when I don't have high stress days, I feel like it's digestion and motility. Mm. I eat salad. I start in the morning with a whole lemon in the blender with ginger and turmeric, and it's just delicious. And that fills me. When I finally get hungry, I eat this monster salad with like hemp seeds, pumpkin, sunflower, whatever. And if I feel like I want a little bit more, maybe I have almonds, Brazil, and cacao, just a little handful for something kind of sweet. But just roasted. There's no sugar or sweetener in any of this stuff.
Stop with the roasted.
Not the nuts, but the cacao beans themselves. So they're
try switching to raw cacao because the roasted cacao has a higher glycemic response.
Okay. And then I have my little superfood. I've got this whole bin of all these little packages and I'm just putting a little scoop of everything with hot water, maybe a little coconut milk or something else in there. And I'm full all day, and it's so super high nutrition, but my body's not doing anything with it. And sometimes I'm go over 130 on blood sugar. I'm crazed over like the results I'm getting and my body isn't releasing anything.
Yeah. So to me, it sounds like there's some liver stuff. That needs to deliver back up. But what I would do, have you done chronometer to see how many calories and fat percentage and all that you've done?
I will do that because I just downloaded it and I'm now getting super curious because I think it's just one salad, you know?
But then you mentioned these nuts or this and that. Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing how quickly those nuts can add up caloric.
Yeah.
And yeah. I find that for myself too. If I'm not really watching, I'll just go, I'll have a handful here. I'll make a dressing here. And then suddenly it's like, oh, I had no idea that it was just 2000 calories just in nuts.
Right. So I even did that. Like I put a measuring cup out with all my jars and nuts and stuff. Like, okay, like when it's this much, a quarter cup or tablespoons, whatever, just that's it. Versus, the lid's off.
On a meter to make sure that amount is not like if you're going for a quarter cup of nuts is a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And it may be that that's adding up and you don't even realize it's adding up.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's super good food.
It's also super good. And I'm just shocked at like, so I know I got my high stress going, but it's kind of tapered off a bit. So I'm just amazed. I just feel like anything that's in my gut just wants to sit there like a brick. And
yeah. So motility, how often are you having bowel movements?
Maybe once every 2 days.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Got to get the bowel movement.
Sometimes it's like clockwork, but that's back when I used to juice all the time.
Well, and maybe liquid, maybe not just juice, but the juice provides more liquid. So you could be dehydrated.
Yeah.
So you could need more fluid going on.
Yeah. Okay. So with that question, so this lemon drink I make and the little superfood thing, tons of water. How much more is like half my weight in ounces, right? For liquid, not just pure straight water.
For water. Because
in addition.
Because once you put the water with all those powders, there's some, like I was just talking about earlier, they're going to absorb powders. So I would say, you know, increase it. So look at half the weight and then I would just try at least a few days of making that half your weight in fluid ounces of water.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it.
I do a lot of drinking, but I do drink my 2 quarts of water every day. And now I need another quart from sweating because I'm refused to drink anything.
Yeah. Okay. So, I feel like I'm constantly drinking, but it's not straight water most often. Or it's ACV with a little, you know, Himalayan sea salt, whatever. But I always have a jug of that going with these other things. I'm like, I'm constantly putting stuff in that's just more liquid. And then this one big salad a day. I'm like, how is it possible that there's like no budge?
Right.
You know?
Right. I would look at the calories, just do the chronometer, and then look at increasing the water, just the pure water.
Yeah. Okay.
Any pure water can have a couple of drops of essential oil or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Salt may be causing you to retain if you're having too much sodium.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, it's always a little something. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go, guys. I'm going to open up your unmute and then we'll say goodbye. And it's great to see everybody. Thank you for being here. Dawn, I'll see you tomorrow, right? You'll be on that call. Yeah, good. I'll see you guys next week then. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Marie.
You're welcome.
All right. Good to see everybody.
Good to see you all. Keep going. Keep that oxygen above 90.
Yeah, I will.
Whether it means stopping in the middle of whatever you're doing and going laying down and putting yourself on your machine, you've got to do it.
I'm going to go do a treatment right now as soon as we get done.
Go do it. All right.
20 minutes of ozone and then I go off to my nap.
Good. Taking care of yourself. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.